Now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Friends, this is thanks be to God. The story ends with sort of a gut punch, doesn't it? But let's begin at the beginning of it and the joy that begins this story. And remember last week when we had such a joyful time of fellowship and worship together. It was a reminder of the celebrative feast that the Father threw when his lost son returned, and a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. The beauty and the joy of that day lingered with us for a while. And then today our worship opened with joyful children and waving branches and songs of praise. It's good to be together, to be glad and express our joy. Our joy here was probably just a hint of the exuberance of that first Palm Sunday when all the crowd celebrated the coming of Jesus into Jerusalem. Jesus was finally ready to reveal to everyone that he truly is the Messiah, the Son of God. To prepare for this entry parade, he sent ahead for a colt. The other Gospels clarify that this is a young donkey. And it was willingly given for the Lord's need. The disciples brought the colt to Jesus, tossed their cloaks over the little donkey, and Jesus sat down and began the ride down into Jerusalem, the city of God. Did you notice what's missing here in Luke? Matthew, Mark, and John all indicate that the crowd shouts, "Hosanna!" Hosanna means save us. And it had become an expression of both prayer and praise. And the other Gospels include phrases like Son of David and King of Israel. And there are tree branches and palms in the other Gospels, but not here. Did you wonder why? It may be that Luke's Gospel is intended more for a Gentile audience. And they might not be as familiar with those Jewish expressions like Hosanna or the significance of the branches that were used in Jewish festivals. It's also likely that Luke is directing our attention to other details. Luke does include the quote from Psalm 118. Psalm 118 is sung during the Passover festival. Psalm 118 points to the coming Messiah with verses that describe how the stone the builders rejected will become the cornerstone. And Psalm 118 says, "Lord, save us! Hosanna! Lord, grant us success! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That is a verse that all of the Gospels use, including Luke, who adds, "King! Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And then Luke added a phrase found in none of the other Gospels. "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And that phrase doesn't come from Psalm 118 either. It seems to be referring back to the opening chapters of Luke's Gospel, where the heavenly angel chorus sang, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." And now all heaven seems to be rejoicing again, and the voices of the people join in with the shouts of praise. Everyone except the Pharisees. And here is where Luke's gospel really shifts our attention. He brings up the Pharisees. The Pharisees don't trust Jesus and the crowd. They're not glad to see him coming in like a king. Yet they don't dare to approach the crowd to try to hush them. So the Pharisees instead tell Jesus to rebuke or chide his disciples for their songs of joy and praise. But Jesus knows that on this day, there must be proclamation of his lordship. Instead of rebuking the crowd, he rebukes the Pharisees. If all creation knows that this is the day when the Messiah is revealed, silenced, if the people are silenced, the very stones would voice their praise. There's just so much praise and joy as the crowd goes down to Jerusalem with Jesus. So it's a bit shocking when in the very next verse, as Jesus nears Jerusalem, he begins to cry. Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. This is a challenging passage. This image of Jesus weeping over Jerusalem stirs and confounds me. Why, at this the end of this day of supposed triumph, why is Jesus crying? What has gone wrong? Jesus says, if they only knew, if they only knew what would bring about peace on this day, how could they not know? Throughout the history of Israel, God has loved his chosen people as precious children. God called them to obedience and faithfulness. God promised that a Messiah would come to save them. And throughout the history of the Jewish people, they kept disobeying. They were unfaithful to their God, and now they do not recognize the Messiah that God has sent. They do not want to accept that Jesus is the one who is coming to bring about a different kind of kingdom. And as is so often true of our own children, when they make choices that go against the loving faithfulness and direction of their parents, they have to pay the consequences. When Jesus looks down on the beautiful city of Jerusalem, the holy city he loves, he longs for the peace of Jerusalem, but he knows that the people there will not recognize him. They have rejected him. And because of their sin, destruction will come. I don't remember much noticing those verses about destruction before, but this year, with all the images we have seen from Ukraine, those verses really caught my attention. We talked together about how the war against Ukraine is so shocking, how hard it is to see the loss of homes and churches, the bodies lying in the streets, the complete destruction. We want to look away. We want to avoid the pain and sorrow it stirs in us, but we need to see it. We need to look death in the face, to acknowledge that evil is real, that power can be abused, that innocent people suffer. We need to listen when Mr. Orlov, deputy mayor of Mariupol, says, every centimeter of our land is soaked with the tears and blood of the heroes of our cities. Soaked with tears and blood. When we see the images of destruction and bodies in the streets and we hear about their tears and blood, it makes us weep. And maybe it helps us understand why Jesus wept. Jesus knows. Jesus knows what will happen to Jerusalem in the coming years, and what he sees in the future brings tears. In the year 70 AD, the Roman army would capture the city of Jerusalem and destroy both the city and the temple. The historian Josephus writes that everywhere was slaughter and flight, Most of the victims were peaceful citizens, weak and unarmed, butchered wherever they were caught. And the wall surrounding Jerusalem was so thoroughly laid level, there was left nothing to make those who came to believe that it had ever been inhabited. It had now become a desolate country. On the day of his triumphal approach to Jerusalem, Jesus sees this. He knows that the city will receive the judgment of God for her sin of rejection. And Jesus weeps for her. And yet he continues to love these people. For them, Jesus still is willing to carry out his Father's plan, to go on into the city, into the crowd whose shouts of praise will turn to jeers and cursing. He will go all the way to another hill where he will be crucified. This Jesus will do because of love. In a collection of sermons by Fleming Rutledge called The Undoing of Death, her first sermon is titled The Tears of Palm Sunday. In it, she says, for 1,000 years, God had been preparing Jerusalem through the prophets to meet her Messiah, her Savior, her Redeemer. Now, as the Messiah at last appears, she is going to arrest him on a trumped-up charge, try him in the middle of the night, flog him nearly to death, and execute him the way we execute serial killers and terrorist bombers, though in an infinitely worse manner. She says, yet Jesus did not weep for himself. He weeps for the city. He weeps for those who will soon shout, crucify him. In other words, he weeps for us. Jesus, the Son of God, weeps for us. We are part of that crowd, that diverse group of people who saw Jesus riding a donkey into the city. They all had their own expectations of what it meant, their own perceptions or misguided understanding of who he was. The faithful disciples, the excited children who shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. The disgruntled Pharisees and the dismayed soldiers who just wished that the chaos would end. And we are part of that same crowd who later in the week turned against Jesus with vigor and venom, who were disappointed that he didn't do what they expected, who were afraid that he would upset the status quo and change their lives. And Jesus came for all of these people, whatever their fear or desire or sin. He came to save them. He came to save us. And Jesus weeps for all of us. As Fleming Rutledge says later in her sermon, we did not deserve God's ultimate sacrifice, but God paid it out of his vast storehouse of unconditional love. Your tears and mine are merely sentimental most of the time, but the tears of Jesus are wrung out of God's inmost heart of compassion. The Messiah weeps for the sin that brings him to Jerusalem to die for her redemption. He weeps for you and me, for the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Today, friends, look at Jesus. Look into his face. See his tears. See who he really is. The true king who came to establish his Father's kingdom. the Son sent by the Father who loves us, the Son who obeys the Father's will, the perfect brother who seeks the lost in order to save them, the Messiah who came to make the ultimate sacrifice to redeem them, the God who cries over those who choose to reject the one who came to save his people. Look at Jesus and see the sorrow and love that flow mingled down, the sorrow and love that cause him to bear the curse for our souls. And in the midst of his tears and maybe our own tears, we also recall that scripture that tells us to rejoice always. How can we do that? Where is that joy that we began our worship? Is it possible that in the midst of darkness and suffering, of pain, and deep, deep questions about violence and peace in the world, about a police shooting and peaceful protests in our very own city, about the sin in our own lives, is it possible that somehow, through the darkness and the grief and the pain, you discover, maybe to your surprise, you discover that there is still a glimmer of gratitude. Gratitude that, if nothing else, God still loves you. God still loves you through it all. And God weeps with you. And God weeps for you. And God, in the person of Jesus Christ, went to the cross because of that deep and unfailing love. Let's pray. Holy God, dear Father in heaven, you love us. And now hear our prayer. The weeping of Jesus moves us to tears. May your Holy Spirit also move us to repentance and recognition. Help us to see Jesus as the true Messiah, the Lamb of God who has come to save us. Have mercy upon us and give us peace. Through Christ our Lord, we pray.